So the big question is this. With over 10,000 different species of mushrooms, how do people that want to benefit from their various medicinal properties accurately identify them in the wild, grow them at home, or make them taste delicious without having to reach confusing medical reports and possibly eating a poisonous look-alike by mistake? That's the question, and this podcast will give you the answer. My name is Oliver Carlin, and welcome to Curated Mushroom. Hey, 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 how's it going out there, my mushroom lovers? And welcome to season 3 of the Curated Mushroom podcast. This is episode 3, and I am your host, Oliver Carlin. And today, we're going to be talking about the most important step of growing your own happy mushrooms at home after you've picked your supplies. This is so that you don't end up with contamination, stalled bags, all those horrible nightmares, green, blue, red, colored things growing in your bags. This is going to prevent all of that, okay? But if you haven't watched the previous episode, episode 2, where I talked about how to get the right supplies, wherever you're going to get them, you can get them from us, Cured Mushrooms store, our shop we have at our website, or you can get them at a variety of other places, all right? But wherever you're getting them, you need to watch that video so you can understand what to look for. Now, if you got a grow bag from us, it's not as important because I'm confident that it's dialed in. The process is dialed in that grow bag is good. It's always better to use whatever supplies you get right away. The longer you got to think of that grow bag basically as mushroom food. It's food or the mushroom. Would you want your food sitting out for months and months before you ate it? You run the risk of contamination because there is an air filter patch on that bag. Now, if you are going to let it sit, here's some recommendations. So on each all-in-one bag that you get, there's going to be this white color square thing at the top of the bag, and it looks kind of like a filter almost, because it is. It's a 0.2 to 0.5 micron air filter that filters out basically 99% of spores that you don't want in the bag. Now, if you don't expose that and you just let your bag sit for a few days, like 5 days, and then take a look at that bag again and see, is there anything growing on that bag? Do the oats look smushy, squishy? These are all signs that they didn't do a good job sterilizing that bag. And I don't want you to waste your time injecting a bag that wasn't prepared correctly. We told you all the horror stories in the last episode. But just know that that's one way you can test your bag is to just let it sit there for a few days. Typically 5 days, if it's contaminated, something will start to show, like either some growth or the oats start to look like swollen and different colors, shades, darker. And you just know something's rotting in that bag. Okay? So that's one way to test your bag. But again, if you're using our bag, you don't need to really do that step because I know that the process was followed correctly, and we've tested them thousands of times, tens of thousands of times. Now, the genetics now, this is the key part I need you to really understand is genetics from spores are one of the most important things that you need to test, okay? So yeah, the two different types of spore syringes that you can get, really, let's talk about that first, right? So the two types of mushroom syringes you can get, instead of calling them spore syringes, we'll call them mushroom syringes, okay? Now, the spore syringe is exactly what it says. It's the spores of a mushroom floating in distilled water, in clean water, and it's supposed to be clean and sterile in that syringe. The other type of syringe that you have is what we call a liquid culture syringe. What is liquid culture? You have to kind of understand a little bit about the mushroom growing life cycle of a mushroom. The growing life cycle of a mushroom. And okay, so it starts from spores. Okay? And you have not one, but two spores come together, kind of like humans, right? Two humans come together. Well, two spores come together. And when those two spores come in contact with each other, and they're in the right environment, meaning it's around 75 to 79 degrees, depending on what mushroom you're growing. And it's in a nutrient-rich environment. Like, one place you can test is agar. Agar is just another type of oat that's liquefied into this jelly. And we call it agar, and just about anything grows really well on that. And that's how scientists grow out various types of fungus and stuff and bacteria, is on these agar petri dishes. Very cheap. You can get them for a couple bucks, and you can test anything on them really easily. And we actually sell agar dishes in our The Cure to Mushroom shop, and you can get them in 5 or 10 packs, and you can test away these methods. Now liquid culture is a little different. So what happens when two spores come together is the next step in their life cycle is they produce what's called hyphae. I mean, they produce what's called, just call it mycelium. Keep it simple. Mycelium. And this mycelium is completely different than a spore. Now we've got a living, breathing creature here. So you got to think of mycelium really is the mushroom. And it is alive and it's eating stuff. So when you have a liquid culture syringe, it's really the ideal way. You don't really ever want to inject spores into a grow bag. You just don't. Like, if you're an advanced mycologist, you don't do that. Because everyone knows spores are high risk of contamination. It's almost impossible to make sure they're 100% clean. No one can. So, at least not with current technology. So, if spores are inherently dirty, you know, if you're an advanced mycologist, you wouldn't use it, right? So, what do advanced mycologists do? Well, they would take a spore sample, and they would put it to agar. And when they put that spore sample to agar, they wait for the mycelium to grow white. And once it grows white, now they take a sample of only the white piece, transfer that to another agar. Because here's something you got to understand too. When you're dealing with a multi-spore syringe, there's thousands and thousands of spores in there. So if you inject a lot of spores into if you inject just a couple drops, you're literally got hundreds and hundreds of spores right there in just a couple drops. You're literally going to have several different strains. Every time two spores come together, they create a whole new strain of mushroom that never existed on the planet before. Just like a human. When you create a new human, that human never existed before. It's brand new. It's unique. That's similar to spores. So when you do that and you grow out spores, you're growing out multiple different things. And you're trying to isolate, okay, let me find the fastest growing piece of white stuff that's on this agar, and I'm going to cut that out with a scalpel. And all this is done in front of a laminar flow hood. And we're not teaching you to do this, but I want you to understand it, right? So you take a sample from that agar, that white piece, you drop it to another agar dish, again, a couple bucks, and then you wait for that to grow out. If that continues to grow out and it's only one strain that you isolated, then you've got one petri dish fully colonized with no bacteria of the best strain in that spore syringe. And now you isolate that, take a piece of that, drop it into a grow bag, and you grow that way. That would be a way that an advanced mycologist would take a spore sample and put it into a grow bag. But I don't want you to have to do that. That's too complicated. You know what I mean? That's going to cost you thousands of dollars. I don't even want to think about how many hours of your time you take to learn and dial that in. I don't want you to have to go through any of that unless you want to. Okay, we do have advanced courses that teach you, but this podcast is designed to keep it simple. I want even a complete beginner who's never done anything before in their life to be able to have success on their first try every time, right? So in order to do that, well, how do you do that then? What's the best thing I can do to get you as close to that as possible in a grow bag without having to buy all this equipment and do all these other things to make it simple for you? So this is what we came up with, right? So the easiest way for you to do this, so once you get your spore syringe and once you get your grow bag and you have both of these things, I told you how to test the grow bag. But what I want you to also do is I want you to test that spore syringe, okay? Now, if it happens to be a liquid culture syringe that has actual living mycelium floating around in the syringe, then that's going to be pretty much 100% clean shot. You don't even really have to test that to agar. Because here's the thing. When someone creates a liquid agar spore syringe, which is what that is, living mycelium floating around in this nutrient-rich liquid, similar to agar, and all the nutrients is consumed. So now it's just mycelium floating around in this liquid, right? So if you take that spore, that LC syringe, and you inject that, almost every single time it's going to be pure, clean, uncontaminated. You can still test it to agar if you want to. You'd be like, you know what? I still want to test. I want to be extra safe. There's nothing wrong ever with being extra safe. When you test to agar, which is I recommend everyone do if you're using a spore syringe, is you test it to agar. So what'll happen is you'll have this little petri dish. If you get them on our website, wherever, you get them on Amazon, whatever it is, we use YSA, which is called, it's yeast sorghum agar, YSA, yeast sorghum agar. So we use sorghum because we just find that it works better with mycelium spores, but also malt extract agar we've used and it works great too. But you have these two different dishes, whatever you have, there's a little lid. I want you to imagine this little disc. It's about, I guess, the size of an orange in diameter. It's a circle disc, very thin, about, I don't know, half an inch. And it's two pieces. The bottom piece has this gelatin form of agar sitting there, dried, like solidified. And then the top piece just comes on and off. Don't ever take off that top piece because inside of there, it's 100% clean environment. As soon as you remove that lid on that agar, it creates an unclean area and anything will grow in that agar. Spores, you need to understand that spores are all around you. They're everywhere in the air. They're all over your clothes. Right now, as I'm talking, they're blowing all over my microphone and everything around me. Spores are everywhere. If you take that lid off or even open your bag right now, it'll get loaded with spores and a bunch of stuff will start growing. And we don't want that, right? We just want to see the mushrooms grow. We don't want all the other spores around us growing. So in order to prevent that, here's some things I recommend. Turn off the AC in your house 30 minutes before you do this. 30 minutes. Why? Well, your AC vents are blowing air. What happens when they blow air into the room you're in? They push all the spores that could be settled somewhere into the air. And now you've created this contamination room with spores floating all around in the place. So what I would like you to do is find a place in your house where there's no one at. People rarely go. Go into the corner of that room, the far corner, set up your little table right there, wherever that is for you. Okay, turn off the AC in that room. If you can't turn off the AC, close the vents so that no air can escape into that one room. And now you have created what I like to call a still air environment in that room, which means the air is still. And that's how you would basically mimic what people spend thousands of dollars trying to do with still air boxes and laminar flow hoods and HEPA-grade filter clean rooms, all these things. You can pretty much mimic just by doing that one step, okay? So once you do that, you set your agar dish, use rubbing alcohol, always use a fresh needle. We used to say flame sterilize. I don't recommend that anymore. One spore syringe or one LC syringe is enough to inoculate 10 grow bags because you only need 1 ml and they're 10 ml syringes per bag. That's a very little amount. And you don't want to inject more than that because the more spore solution that you inject into a grow bag, you increase your chances of contamination. The reason being, if there happens to be one trichoderma, green mold spore, anywhere in that whole syringe, if you injected that whole syringe, you have 100% chance of getting that. You know what I mean? Instead of just mimicking it down to 1 out of 10%, right? So that's kind of the first thing there. So turn off the AC, right? Get that still air environment. And then when you go to test that spore syringe, you barely lift the lid off of that agar, stick. Oh, and really important, this, I need to step back one step. So when you take that needle off, so the needle is going to come securely wrapped, and then the syringe, there's going to be a cap on the end of it. Always face down. Never let the hole face up because spores fall downward. So if you ever have to expose the hole, expose it facing downward. And then pre-peel the end of that needle and then twist them both together really fast. A lot of the times I feel like it's an unthought of place where mold spores can sneak in, is that one spot where you have to connect the needle. So be extra careful when you connect that needle. If you're extra worried about any of this during this process, I do have ways for you to create like a very simple still air box. Like if you're struggling to create that and you want to take it up one level, there's a pretty cheap way. You just get a pretty decent size, like 30 quart tote, plastic clear tote. And all you're going to do is turn it upside down on a table. And now you've got this tote sitting upside down. So there's no opening, right? The opening is facing the table. And then you can take two food cans that are the size of your arm, eat the food in those cans. But then that circle piece, you get it hot with like a torch lighter or a flame or something, and push it into the plastic where you want your arms to stick in. And now you've created a self-made still air box. We also got collapsible, breakdownable ones on our store, our shop, if you do need something like that. Those are relatively inexpensive, but they can really help if you're struggling to get the contamination down in your area. Whatever you're deciding, I pretty much dialed the process in. I personally don't need a still air box, but if you're still learning and you feel like you do, then do it. You know what I mean? I used to use one. I don't anymore. But if you're extra careful, you can get away with not using it. And I get the same success as if I was. So test the spore syringe. Just put a few drops. Shake it really well. Attach the lid. Lift the cap of that Petri dish and drop a couple drops to agar. Cover it. Put it in the Ziploc bag. That's a clean Ziploc bag. Close it up. And don't spill it because there's liquid on that agar. Don't like turn it around. Keep it flat and balanced and put it somewhere warm around 75 degrees for the next few days and just let it sit there and check it once a day until you see something growing. If you look at that Petri dish and it's turning bright colors like red, orange, or green or whatever, that's not a good sign, right? But if it's turning beautiful white circles where you drop those drops to, then you're like, okay, good. I've got a good quality spore syringe. And that's it. Like once you know, look, I've got a good grow bag. I've got a good spore syringe. You're in the money now. You're in the money. And we allow you to get all those things in the simple one click. Again, our microscopy guide for those syringes for microscopy purpose. We do have that guide that comes with those from the top vendor. And we never know what you're getting from them. And we also provide the grow bags. So you can get all of this in one click at curetomushroomshop.com or shop.curetomushrooms.com. Now, so all of those things are really, once you've got that though, once you're like, look, I've got it. I've got the grow bag. I've got the spore syringe. I've tested both. I'm good to go. Once you're at that point, man, that's the best place to be in. Once I know I've got good genetics, I've got a good grow bag, I've even tested it to agar, I'm like, dude, this is it. Then all I got to do at that point is follow the same sterile practices to inject that grow bag. Well, how do you do that? Again, you can use a still air box, or again, turn off the AC in your house 30 minutes before you do this. You're going to use 70% isopropyl alcohol. And when you apply alcohol, apply it to the spot you're about to inject on the grow bag. If the grow bag has a self-healing injection port, looks like a little square rubber disc around the oats section, that's a self-healing injection port, meaning if I inject into that spot, the moment I pull the needle out, the hole seals. There is a trick though. This is another reason I stopped recommending people to flame sterilize. Because a lot of times what happens if you flame sterilize the needle, most people don't wait for it to cool down and they'll stick that needle straight into the grow bag and it actually melts the material, leaving a hole. So contamination can actually get in and the self-healing injection port doesn't actually work. So if you use a fresh needle each time, so what I mean is, if I'm going to inject a grow bag, I'll inject it with that grow bag. And then I don't want you to keep the same needle on the syringe in the fridge for a week or two and then inject another grow bag with that same needle. Because inside the barrel, it can easily get contaminated after what happened. So it's always better to replace the needle. We're going to have those available on the shop for really cheap. And I know for our vendors, we tell them to ship with more needles so that you don't have to deal with the flame sterilization. I've done flame sterilization and it's worked. but I don't recommend it. There's too many issues that can come with it. So if you follow, needles are too cheap. Just get a new needle, attach it to your syringe each time, and just that's going to be the easiest way for you to make sure you don't get contamination. Okay? So So you have the grow bag, you have the spore syringes. Again, you're going to here's the method. I want to explain the method that I've used with almost 100% success in the most dirty environments that you can imagine. I'm talking rooms full of people, hundreds of people. I've done this demonstration and it works. It works every time for me. And the reason it works is I'm going to explain, it's pretty simple and it doesn't require any expensive equipment. But again, if you're not comfortable with this, spend a little extra time, make a still air box so that you can relax. You know what I mean? If it's too much anxiety with it, don't worry about it. Use a still air box. But if you think you can follow along, just listen to these instructions and let me know what you think. So the first thing I do, right, after I turn off the AC, I wait 30 minutes or I'm in the corner of the room. So I'm going to soak my hands in that same, you can get rubbing alcohol at the grocery store for a couple bucks, right? So I soak my hands in rubbing alcohol and then I take this paper towel and I soak it with rubbing alcohol, really soak it. I'm like, don't be stingy with the alcohol. It's only a couple bucks for a big jug of it right now. Soak that alcohol wipe in it, make it really wet, get that injection port soaking wet, and then leave that paper towel sitting on top of the injection port wet. And now just let it sit there for minutes. As you go on and wipe your hands with alcohol, everything should be wet for a minimum of 30 seconds. Your hands and the bag, those are the two things we're sanitizing. Okay, everything else is clean. But keep that paper towel on the injection port. Now, as your hands are dried, you're gonna take the syringe, you're gonna take the needle, you're gonna peel back just the end of the needle just enough. Remember, keep the holes face down. Then you take the syringe, pop the cap a little bit loose, and the moment the cap on the end of the syringe falls out, you're gonna immediately twist the two together. So they're both facing down, and you twist them into each other so that the two holes meet. And if you do that part right, be quick, be good, and now no contamination got in when you applied the needle. Then the last piece is there's going to be a cap on the needle now. And think about it. Your injection port's covered right now with that wet paper towel. So you're about to, the moment you remove that paper towel is the same moment that that cap drops off the needle right next to it. So the way I do it is I'll loosen the cap just a little bit and I'll get my hand right next to that paper towel in the bag and I'll release the cap with my fingers. It'll drop to the ground. The moment that cap drops, I slide the paper towel and stick the needle in the injection port. So really, the needle is only exposed to open air for less than a second. And that's the key. You don't want it to be exposed to open air unless you're in a still air environment or in front of a laminar flow hood. You don't want anything exposed to open air at all, really, but minimize it the way I showed you. And I'm telling you, it works. Yeah, I get a clean shot. Once you inject in the grow bag, remember the key thing, only 1 mL per bag. And what I like to do is I'll lay the bag on its side and I'll inject toward the top of the oats, not in the middle of the bag, but I'll squirt a little bit of the water on top of the oats, but it's laying on its side. So the oats will actually drip all the way through the oats to the backside of the bag. So that's one way for you to maximize your spore contact point, is to lay it down so that as that little bit of water seeps through the oats, it's making all these contacts with all these oats so that the spores can easily come together. And I've done it that way, and I've had it to where, like, within a few days, the entire oats was already colonized because the spores just drip through them all. But again, don't do more than 1 mL. I'm going to stress this a lot. The more you inject, the higher your chances of contamination when you're with spores. If you're using LC, it doesn't really matter. That LC syringe is pretty much going to be clean. You can inject more if you want. But why inject more if you don't need to? No matter what, you only need 1 mL. No matter what you're injecting, that way you can inject up to 10 bags with that same syringe. They don't go bad. Once you use a syringe, just keep them in the refrigerator, in the door of the refrigerator, not in the back. You don't want to freeze them. And that's one of the big questions we get. Like, well, you know, what do spores die at a certain temperature? Look, I've received spore syringes in the mail that were frozen and they still were good. You know, so there's speculation on, but I know certain temperatures of heat, like above 150 degrees, can kill spores. We've seen that. But most of us aren't in 150 degree heat. And we already determined freezing does. Now, try to avoid that as much as possible. Keep it around. If you keep them in this door of your fridge, we've seen them last for years and still be really good. But that's pretty much it. Now you've got your grow bags. And if you can't use your grow bags for a while because you have unused ones, then just keep them airtight. Don't expose the air filter patch until you're ready to use them, because as soon as that air filter patch starts receiving new air, now something can sneak into that bag. So keep it tucked away if you're not going to use it, in a cool, dark place in the box. Don't unwrap them or anything. And that's the best way to store them long term. But again, always use your stuff fresh. Fresh is better. If you wait till you're about to do it and then order them, okay? That's what I recommend. So that's pretty much all we have for today's podcast episode. Again, this is really the most important step in the process here, is actually injecting it with known good genetics and the known good bag. And if you follow these sterile practices that I outlined in this episode, you will have success. This is the same thing that I do pretty much every month. I grow a lot of mushrooms because I just enjoy it. And this is what we just do. It's easy, it's simple. And even me, I have advanced equipment. I just don't use it, because the reality is I like simple, I like easy, and this is the best way that works. And that's what I'm teaching you guys here today. So if you like this episode or you thought this was helpful, like and subscribe, because in the next episode, we're going to dive deep into the next part of this. You've already accomplished the two most important things. If you did these two episodes right, this episode and the one before where I told you to get your supplies, then pretty much the next step is going to be a breeze. It's going to be a lot of fun, but we still need to go over it so that you will understand that this can take, look, after you inject, it can take 30 to 45 days before you actually get your mushrooms. So we're going to talk about how you do that, how you store these things over the next few weeks while they're fully colonizing with mushroom mycelium. And we're going to cover the key points in that in our next episode. But again, this episode was all about taking the known good supplies, injecting them into that grow bag, and getting it ready to go. So join me on the next episode. After you do that, we're going to show you how to keep it at around 79 degrees is where I like to keep it for the next few weeks. And that's the perfect range. And we're going to tell you how they don't like temperature fluctuations and why it's important to keep them at this range so you don't end up with a stalled bag, or worse, dead mycelium, or even something else growing in that bag that we don't want. So, all right. So cool. I'll see you guys in the next episode. That's pretty much all we have. And again, if you'd like to join our challenge, we do have a challenge where you can join the live calls, hop on with us in case you want some extra help during your challenge. All right, guys. Well, I'll see you in the next episode. Talk to you later. Much love. I'm out.